From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 2025 may have kicked off last week officially, but today is really when politics begins to pick up steam. And a new year brings a fresh set of priorities for California. This morning, Governor Gavin Newsom was in the San Joaquin Valley outlining his budget priorities for the 2025-26 year. And at the state capitol, state lawmakers are full steam ahead into its new legislative session. As they're busy crafting bills, we also have a slew of new state laws to sift through. Dustin Gardner is co-author of Politico's California Playbook and joins us now to get us up to speed on the latest in state politics. Welcome, Dustin.
Happy New Year. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, this week is not going to disappoint. A lot of movement state politics-wise, even this morning. Governor Gavin Newsom was in the San Joaquin Valley where he unveiled his top budget priorities. It's kind of like a teaser for the upcoming fiscal year. Why did he choose to do this in the San Joaquin Valley in Modesto?
Well, the governor was originally supposed to do this on Thursday. He was going to do a joint state of the state and budget update to the legislature. But after the death of former President Jimmy Carter, Newsom announced he was going to give a teaser today and then allow his Department of Finance staff to give a fuller presentation on Friday. That's because Newsom's going to travel to the Capitol in Washington for Carter's funeral later this week. He's sort of last minute change of plans that he's looping this into his jobs tour around the state.
What budget priorities did he lead with this morning?
Yeah, so one of the biggies that really stood out is the emphasis that he's putting on film tax credits. He wants to set aside at least $420 million to expand the state's program for that. And he had kind of a funny anecdote about how California had lured the TV series Bad Monkey with Vince Vaughn with a $20 million tax credit from Florida to California. And he talked a little bit about that show. That was kind of a lively moment. The film tax credit and bolstering Hollywood's a big priority. Some of the others, he's been on this jobs tour and he's really leaning into expanding the state's programs around career education. This is vocational training, especially for union jobs and, you know, people that might not go to traditional college, and putting more state funding aside to help counties and school districts expand those types of programs. And then another biggie, of course, that's made a lot of national headlines is the money that he wants to set aside to help Trump-proof California and prepare to engage in litigation with the incoming president. The governor's asking for $25 million for that. Some state lawmakers want a lot more, but that's going to be pretty quickly at the immediate top of his plate.
When it comes to Trump-proofing the state, there's also the timing of this as well. Today marks 4 years since the insurrection at our nation's capital. This budget outlining, the one on Friday, is also ahead of Trump's inauguration on January 20th. Is this timing influenced by national politics?
Yeah, so the timing on setting aside that funding for litigation with the Trump administration, that is completely influenced by national politics. Very quickly after the election, Newsom came out, you know, and said that California was going to once again be a leader of the resistance against Trump. And he called for this $25 million for a legal defense fund. And he also called the legislature into a special session to expedite the approval of that funding. And so I think the priority for the governor and for legislative leaders is to get that funding approved before Trump takes office on the 20th. Litigation obviously is not going to commence right away on that day, but I think for symbolic and political reasons, they want to send the signal that the funding is there when the state needs it to defend itself against the president.
All of this will take resources, aka money, and the state is dealing with a drastically different situation than just years ago when we had a record surplus here in California. We're now at a deficit. Was the tone of his budget priorities, these headlines, was it shaped by having to deal with financial constraints?
So right before I got on with you, I was listening to the governor's budget presentation, and he's casting a pretty rosy picture of the economy and the state of California's budget. But the reality is the state does not have the big surplus that it did a couple of years ago. There was a big budget deficit last year. Newsom did say that he's projecting a balanced budget for the upcoming year, the fiscal year that starts on July 1st. That's a slight difference from the legislative analyst office, which is projecting a roughly $2 billion deficit. But overall, I think the governor really wants to resolve the budget as quickly as possible and prevent any negative headlines about California having a budget deficit or any spending problems. It's typical for the governor to have a rosier projection than the legislative analyst, which is a nonpartisan third party. And the governor's office obviously controls the State Department of Finance. And so he often has a hand in sort of how they present the numbers. But I think it is very much political in the sense that he wants to clean up any potential financial trouble as quickly as possible and move on so it doesn't make bad headlines.
Yeah, and this morning, of course, was just a teaser. What are you looking forward to Friday when the Department of Finance really gets into the weeds of the state budget priorities for the upcoming fiscal year?
Yeah, I think one big area where lawmakers, particularly in the state Senate, have started to indicate differences with the governor is immigration. They want a more robust plan to deal with Trump's threats of mass deportations, and that would include much more money for a legal defense fund to help undocumented immigrants with legal aid and help local governments engage in litigation, including sanctuary cities, engage in litigation with the federal government. Newsom hasn't really indicated where he wants to go on that yet, but we do know that the governor's office is working on a plan to deal with mass deportations and deal with the Trump administration's immigration policy. But again, state lawmakers are asking for more. So I think that's an area where everyone's going to be watching really closely for more details. That's the immediate biggie to me. And I think also just, how much the other thing I'll be watching is how much restraint does the Department of Finance push lawmakers to show, because in addition to immigration, you have a lot of concerns about the protections for LGBTQ people, protections for reproductive rights and abortion. And there's going to be a lot of lawmakers looking for additional money in those areas to help defend state laws and also provide aid to people coming from other states or Californians or California companies facing federal legal issues. So I think I'll be very curious to see if there's any of that included in the budget.
You also mentioned that when kind of itemizing these budget priorities this morning, this was one of many stops on the California Jobs First tour. I believe it's the sixth stop that the governor has made throughout the state. What stands out to you about the locations that he's choosing and the overarching message of what this tour is meant to accomplish?
This tour kicked off very quickly after the election, and it was a brutal year for Democrats across the country. And it's the clear political strategy to me seems to be that the governor is trying to signal a level of self-assessment and reflection for Democrats looking at what can they do to shore up voters who had economic anxieties or felt like Democrats weren't looking out for them, particularly in redder parts of the state like Riverside County or the Central Valley, parts of Orange County. So Newsom is really going to those areas and emphasizing what the state's doing to help bring in good jobs and help voters that feel like that, that they're being left behind or not getting some of the economic benefits that people on the coast enjoy. He's trying to reach out to them. And let's, even though Kamala Harris easily won California, it's worth remembering that she won by less than 9 points than Joe Biden did 4 years earlier. And that's, and considering it's her home state, I mean, that's a huge shift. Even in deep blue California, there was a big rightward shift.
Yeah. Do you think that this tour, when talking with your sources or people at the state capitol, has it been effective? I mean, there's been a half dozen so far.
Good question. I think it seems in a lot of ways that the party is still doing that reflection and soul searching from Newsom and other Democratic leaders. They're still figuring out what is the message that they need to craft that didn't work in the last election cycle? What do they need to do differently? And I think there's a feeling that this is sort of the start, and particularly as Newsom looks at his own political future, we know that he's thinking about running for president down the line. And this seems like the seeds of him starting to craft a broader economic message in that sense.
Yeah, another big development. This isn't the only press conference of the governor's today. Later this afternoon, he's planning to give an update on the state's high-speed rail project. And that's also in the Central Valley, a controversial and very costly project. And there's been talk about cutting funding for the project on the federal level, most notably from Republican Congress member Kevin Kiley. What do you think the governor is going to say later today? Is there progress on the project that he can actually point to?
The governor and other California Democrats, including especially former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, they are very quickly jumping into defense mode because they know that the Trump administration, led by some Republican members of our own congressional delegation, they're eager to cut funding for this project. It was only in 2023 that Nancy Pelosi helped California secure over $3 billion to finish this Central Valley segment of high-speed rail, and then also invest in a high-speed rail line to link to Las Vegas. And that is directly on the chopping block. And so I think what Newsom and Pelosi are trying to do is emphasize the jobs benefits of this rail line to the Central Valley in particular. We've seen some Republicans in the Central Valley, such as, you know, Fresno Mayor Jerry Dyer. They've warmed up to this project and they're defending it now more than they have in the past. And, you know, this has been thousands of jobs for electricians, a lot of other skilled union workers. So I think that's part of the defense strategy. And they're also going to emphasize the track is now starting to be laid. We're getting close to that point where after all these years and all these delays and cost overruns and, you know, the cost, you know, doubling multiple times, that track is finally going to be laid in the Central Valley. And I think that it's a very clear strategy to say that you can't take the money back now. That's their argument anyway, but I'm sure Trump is going to try.
And all of this is shaped, of course, by, we're talking about Congress members. So it's shaped by California's impact and potential political weight at our nation's capital for the federal government. And in one of your latest California playbooks, I believe it was last week, you had new census projections that are suggesting that California could actually lose more congressional seats. And the state already had a net population loss following the 2020 census. How could this shape California's political weight in D.C., as, you know, they're clearly focused. One election is already just past us. They're already eyeing the midterms and also another presidential election, which isn't that far away in 4 years.
So the projection that came out suggested the state could lose up to 4 seats. This was a projection using census numbers from the Brennan Center. I think it was pretty interesting how quickly Newsom's office jumped out in response to that projection with population numbers showing that California actually added residents, you know, over 200,000 people last year, but still not enough to reverse the population decline since Newsom has taken office overall. But I think it sets a national political narrative that California is a state that's shrinking, right? I mean, I think that's the narrative that Newsom and Democrats are most concerned about. Having fewer members of Congress, from the state certainly affects our clout and influence. And one thing I think that I would note in particular about it is that the areas of the state that are most likely to lose those seats and representation are the bluer coastal areas that have lost the most population. The more purple or maybe light red areas in the Central Valley in the Inland Empire, those are the areas that are most likely to gain seats because that's where those are the counties that have actually been growing. And so I think that'll be a really interesting dynamic to watch is where exactly is representation going in the state? And it's not equal. Certain areas of the state are going to feel that loss of representation much more pointedly.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Dustin Gardner with Politico's California Playbook. In the last few minutes that we have, I mean, the new legislative session, it officially began last month. But of course, you had the holidays, people were on break. This week, it really picks up steam. What are some of the major items or topics that you're tracking?
I think there's going to be a huge rematch around AI regulation. Last year, lawmakers had literally dozens of bills around AI as the industry really quickly grows and the technology evolves really rapidly. Some of the more toothy bills, the more aggressive bills, didn't see daylight. They didn't make it past the governor's desk. In particular, a bill from State Senator Scott Wiener that would have created safety testing and guardrails that was vetoed by the governor. And so lawmakers are really kind of chomping at the bit to take this back up. And the governor has his own work group around AI safety, working with local universities and experts in the field to craft regulations. So I think we're at the beginning of starting to see another round of tug of rope around who's going to influence the AI policy discussion. Is it lawmakers or is it the governor or tech companies? That's one biggie for me. And then also is child safety online. There's a couple of bills coming down the pike dealing with warning labels and other safeguards for children using social media and online platforms. So I think it's going to be a huge session for tech. On another front, I think it's also going to be a big session for housing legislation. The legislature didn't do a ton around housing last year, and leadership, including Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas, has signaled that they want to spend a lot of time this next session talking about cost of living concerns, in particular the cost of housing in California. So I think pro-housing groups, so-called YIMBY, Yes in My Backyard groups, they're really eager to make this a big session for housing legislation and doing things like creating more enforcement for cities that aren't meeting their state housing goals.
When I go back to prior sessions and when those bills end up making their way through various committees and they end up on the governor's desk, the governor has to go through hundreds of bills deciding their fate, whether to sign them into law or veto them. And this also comes with the change this year. Aren't there new limits to the number of bills state lawmakers can file? Why did they make this change?
Yeah, it's a pretty drastic difference. It's a 35 bill cap in both the Senate and the Assembly. And that's down from 50 bills in the Assembly. And Speaker Robert Rivas has emphasized that he wants lawmakers to really focus on the core priorities like the cost of living in California. His speech he gave to lawmakers on their opening organizing session back in December was really almost laser squarely focused on that. And I think the message is that they want leadership wants fewer symbolic messaging type bills, and they want more kind of meat and potato bills dealing with things like affordability in the state and cost of living in the state and public safety and, you know, also maybe tech regulation. So I think it's a strong message from leadership that they feel like Democrats got to be focused on the priorities, particularly after how poorly the party did even in California this past year.
Yeah, I mean, there still is, though, a Democratic supermajority in the state legislature. But when you're also talking about the census projections really shaping the partisan makeup in California from blue to red, are you seeing avenues where California Republicans can actually make a political dent?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think the dent for California Republicans is more of a messaging. It's more of a messaging benefit than anything. They gained 3 seats in the state legislature. That's a notable shift after losing seats for most of the last decade to Democrats. But that's not going to crack the supermajority that Democrats have in both chambers of the legislature. But again, I think Democrats are looking not just at the seats they still hold in California, but they're looking at the margins. And even in some of the bluest congressional districts, there was a double digit shift from prior election cycles where Republicans did that much better. And that's, you know, any Democratic leader that's looking at that has to be thinking this is a huge change and they're wary of what it could mean for the future.
Finally, Dustin, I know that you could probably talk about this forever, new laws for 2025. So I'm going to challenge you to narrow it down. What are some of the most notable new laws that stand out to you that you think people should know about?
You know, I think one of the biggest is retail theft. There was a package of a dozen bills that the legislature passed. These didn't get a ton of attention when there was so much conversation around the ballot measure of Prop 36 that increased penalties for drug and theft crimes. But arguably, some of the bills that the legislature passed go further than what that ballot measure did, especially when it relates to retail theft. And this is doing things like making it easier for prosecutors to charge thieves with felonies by allowing them to add up, aggregate multiple instances of theft to get to that $950 threshold to quantify theft as a felony. That's much talked about, that threshold, and it'll be a lot easier to charge people with felonies due to that change. So that's a big area for me is retail theft. Another one that's gotten a lot of attention that sort of flew under the radar at the legislature, but has gotten a lot of attention in recent weeks, is this so-called daylighting law. And this is a law that requires 20 feet separation spaces between crosswalks and parking spaces. And the idea behind the law is that you make it safer because if there aren't cars closer to the crosswalk, people are less likely to be hit because drivers can see them. Pedestrians are less likely to be harmed. But a lot of cities, including San Francisco and LA, are losing many parking spaces because of this law. And that has sparked somewhat of a revolt that I've seen from drivers online in recent weeks. So I predict that's one we're going to keep hearing about.
Thank you so much, Dustin.
Thanks for having me.
Dustin Gardner is the co-author of Politico's California Playbook, getting us up to speed on the latest in state politics for 2025. Up next, we also have the first official measurement of California's snowpack, and the news is cautiously promising. The Central Sierra Snow Lab joins us with a deeper look. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.